So as I was thinking this week about the sermon on things that are new in our lives because of Jesus, I was kind of curious and I thought, you know, new things in general. We generally like new stuff, right? New cars, new technology, new shoes, some of you, new toys, new places to travel. We generally like new stuff. That's the general rule of thumb. So the sermon theme this morning, what is new and better because of Jesus in our lives? We've been spending the last 2 months looking and revisiting the Jesus story. And we looked at his birth and his ministry and his kingdom and his resurrection, his death. And we're coming to the end of that series this morning. And the theme is, what are the new things that are in our lives because of Jesus? And so I did a word study this last week. That I'd never done before. And it seems kind of weird when you've been doing ministry for like 30 years, you'd think you'd covered a bunch of stuff. I had never done a New Testament word study on the word new. So I looked up what that Greek word was, did a study, and it has to do with new and renewed and renewal and renew and inaugurate. And so I ran that word study, and it was really amazing to be reminded of all the things that are new in our lives because Jesus has come into our life. And so I want to share seven things. I couldn't share all of it, so I had to kind of whittle it down. So I have seven things that are new in our lives because of Jesus. But the very first verse that I came up with, and it makes sense, was 2 Corinthians 5:17. And this verse is so significant that I really want you all to memorize it during this sermon. Many of you already know it. And by the time you get to the end of the sermon, I want this memorized, so that when you get to Thanksgiving, you can stop and reflect on how you are a new creation because of Jesus. So, 2 Corinthians 5:17, one of my coaching things on scripture memory. And by the way, this is usually a scripture that's like in the top 20 list of scriptures that every Christian should memorize. If you go online and look for them, usually this one will show up. It's that significant. All right, coaching on scripture memory. It's great to memorize a verse. It's even greater to know where that verse is located so that you can go back and read the context from time to time. So, when you're memorizing scripture, always start with the address and then end with the address. Okay? So let's do this one together. We'll read it together. Everyone, 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, anyone in Christ is a new creation. The old has gone away. Behold, the new has come. 2 Corinthians. Okay. By the time we're done, you're going to have that that completely memorized unless you fall asleep. Here's the thing. One commentator said this about this verse. He says, when a person becomes a Christian, they experience a total restructuring of life that alters its whole fabric, thinking, feeling, willing, and acting. Anyone who is in Christ is completely under new management. And the particle behold in that verse conveys a sense of excitement and triumph. Because here's the deal. When Jesus came into our lives, everything became new. We became completely new creations. And everything is changed because of that. So, number one, if you're taking notes, and there are 7 points here. If you lose them, Danny or Hojan, let's try to get this on Facebook. Because I'd love you to get the Thanksgiving and just praise God for each of these things that are new in your life because of Jesus. Number one, we have, of course, a new birth and with it, a new way of living. When we put our trust in Jesus, just like Jesus told Nicodemus in John chapter 3, we are reborn. And there's a different character to our life forever after that moment. We live life with a Christ-focused orientation. We don't make any decisions anymore in our life without considering a reference to Jesus Christ. Christ followers are not like the rest of the world. We don't think the world was created for us to get our way. We absolutely know that is a futile illusion. The world wasn't created for us to get our way. The world was created that God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And the eternal life that we receive when we came to Christ, we usually think of that as something that happens in the future. We think of eternal as a time marker. But when you look through the New Testament, that word eternal isn't just a time marker. It's also a marker of a quality. There is an essence about our lives that starts the moment we meet Christ that is so full that it reminds us of eternity with God forever. Because of Jesus, we have a new birth and a new life. And that starts right here, right now, as soon as we meet Christ. So Romans chapter 6 says this. Have you forgotten, talking about our baptism, have you forgotten that when we were joined with Christ in baptism, we were joined with him in his death? For we died and were buried with Christ by baptism. And just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glorious power of the Father, now we too rise to live in newness of life. Because of Jesus, we have a whole new quality of life. And so so let's read the verse again. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Do it together. Okay. You're going to do this a whole lot more, so you'll get more and more practice. I clicked it, and it didn't die on me. I can make it go away. Now you're going to have to fix it, because you got to get it to come back by the next point. You're going to do that? You want this? Okay. It was such a good idea at the time. Sorry, man.
New is not better.
New is not necessarily better. All right. Number two. Because of Jesus, we have a new covenant friendship with God. Baptism reminds us that we have been raised to live in newness of life. The Lord's Supper reminds us that we have a new covenant friendship with God. And that puts you in a standing with the Most High Creator of the universe, that you are a child of the Most High God. You are an heir of God and a co-heir with Christ. Imagine what it would be like to be the children of royalty on earth. And how you would have all the privileges of royalty. And you have that multiplied beyond what you can imagine because you have been adopted into the family of God. And you have this new covenant friendship with God, whereby God is always pursuing you. Doesn't matter how far you start to skew out. Once you've come to Christ, God is always pursuing you with his love and with his blessings. And so the scripture that I picked for this covenantal friendship with God is Luke 22. After supper, Jesus took another cup of wine and said, "This is the new covenant between God and his people, an agreement confirmed with my love, which is poured out as a sacrifice for you." Because of what Jesus did on the cross, you have this restored covenant friendship with God forever. And so did you get the screen to come back up? See if you can pop it. So here we go again. Everything is made new together. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, behold, the new has come. 2 Corinthians 5:17. All right, now when we go over it at the end of each point, get to a certain point and close your eyes so that you don't see it and say it from memory, okay? All right, number three. Because of Jesus, we get so familiar with this, folks, but I want you to just reflect on it a little bit. Because of Jesus, we have this new indwelling of the Holy Spirit. This is utterly amazing. Once we come to Jesus, God is never a long ways away. God is never distant. He's never disconnected with us. Because of Jesus, when we put our trust in him, God's Holy Spirit takes up residence within our souls. And the Holy Spirit is there in every decision we ever make for the rest of our lives. We can consult the Spirit. He will prompt us to action. He will guide our decisions. He will correct us from error. He will convict us of sin. He will empower us for witness. The Holy Spirit, because of Jesus, is an incredible gift that marks you out as radically different from those in the world who don't have the Spirit of God living within them. You are a vessel of God's Holy Spirit, which is just this sense of never ever are we alone. Never, ever do we have to worry about being abandoned. Never, ever do we have to wonder whether we can have the wisdom that we need for the decisions we need to make in life. Because God has promised us that if we ask for his wisdom, believing, then he will give us wisdom. And it is the Holy Spirit who does that. Never, ever do we have to suffer alone, because the Holy Spirit is there, and the Holy Spirit is the comforter of our souls from God. There are times when the Holy Spirit will, even though he's present from the moment of faith in Christ, there will be times in your life, probably, when the Holy Spirit will show up in this overwhelming presence so that you are just absolutely amazed that God is so real in your life. That usually happens a number of times in the Christian life. And we read through people's spiritual biographies, and they talk about times when the Spirit was so present. They call it the baptism of the Holy Spirit. There's an overwhelming presence of God. So you have the Spirit at all times. There will be times when the Spirit will bless you with an overwhelming presence. And you can walk more and more in awareness of what the Spirit is doing. By paying attention to what he is prompting you in your heart and your soul, you can learn to walk in the Spirit. Because of Jesus, we have this infilling. So the scripture I picked for this is Titus 3, 4 through 6. When God our Savior revealed his kindness and love, he saved us, not because of the righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. He washed away our sins, giving us a new birth and new life through the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ, our Savior. And then Romans chapter 7 says, now we have been released from the law, for we died to it and no longer captive to its power. Now we can serve God, not in the old way of observing the letter of the law, but in the new way of living in the Holy Spirit. As a follower of Jesus, you get to live life in the Holy Spirit. So because of Jesus, we can be fully alive through the Spirit of God. 2 Corinthians 5:17, together everyone. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Perfect. That's what we're going to do. We're going to blanket on you so that you get it each time. Number four, because of Jesus, we have an entirely new nature. I've lived long enough to know that one of the worst problems in the world isn't out there, it's in here. I've lived long enough to know that Dr. Phil is not going to solve the brokenness inside of me. A new book is not going to solve the brokenness inside of me. Some new idea, some new experience isn't going to fix the brokenness inside of me. I've lived long enough to know that I need a true transformation from the inside that goes outwards, not from the outside with some kind of behavior modification, kind of changing what I look like. I need to be transformed in my very soul. And this true transformation, God promised to his people way back in the book of Ezekiel, Ezekiel 11, verses 19 and 20, God says to his people, I will give them undivided hearts, and I will put a new spirit in them. I will remove from them their hearts of stone and give them hearts of flesh. Then they will follow my decrees, be careful to keep my laws, they will be my people, and I will be their God. Apart from God giving us new hearts and a new nature, there is no hope. We're like everybody else on the face of the earth. But because of Jesus, that heart of stone that you had, that heart that you used to have that was desperately wicked above all things, as Jeremiah says, that has been replaced with a heart of flesh. That has been replaced with a new nature so that we can love people even though they don't love us back, so that we can be gentle and kind instead of arrogant and full of pride. We have been given this new nature so that we can even return blessings for curses. Now, if you have an old nature, that doesn't come. If you're cursed, you curse back. Somebody flips you the bird, you flip it back. But we have a new nature. That means we can return blessings for curses because we've been changed from the inside out. And we can learn to walk in that new nature like we learn to walk in the Spirit. So I picked Colossians chapter 3. Because of Jesus and because of this new nature, we have a choice. We can put on that new nature. We can choose. So Colossians 3 says, put on your new nature and be renewed as you know our Creator and become like Him. Ephesians 4, 21 and 23 says it again. Since you have heard about Jesus and have learned the truth that comes from Him, throw off your old sinful nature and your former way of life, which is corrupted by lust and deception. Instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. Put on your new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. Because of Jesus, we have a new heart and a new nature. So let's read 2 Corinthians, that everything has changed. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Everybody together, starting at the beginning. 2 Corinthians. Okay, let's do it again. Pull it back up. We'll get it. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, good. You almost did it in unison. Number 5. Because of Jesus, we have a new love. Because of Jesus, we have a new love. Jesus gave us a new commandment about a new kind of love. It's in John 13, and Jesus says, now I am giving you a new commandment. Love each other, and this is the standard of the new love. Love each other just as I have loved you. You should love each other and your... just as I have loved you, you should love each other, and your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. The standard for the new love that we have as the followers of Jesus is we love the way that Jesus loved. While we were still enemies of God, Jesus died for our sake. In the world, you only love people as long as they're loving you back, as long as you're getting something back. And when your return on investment stops in the world, you stop loving. So in marriage, in the world, if the other person quits loving you the way that you want to, then you walk away. That's not true in the church. Everything changes. Every relationship changes because of this new love. Our marriage relationship changes because of this new love. Marla has to keep loving me forever. She has no choice, right? I have to keep loving. In the family of Jesus, we have this love that can love, that is not restricted or limited. We can choose to love and keep on loving. It changes how we relate to the other gender. We never use the opposite sex for our enjoyment. We never spend and use them up because we have a love that is a new love of Jesus where we are self-sacrificing and giving. It changes how we love each other in the church. In the church, when we annoy each other, we don't vote each other off the island. We stay and keep on loving one another. We never abort the church out of our life because there are people who are annoying. We love one another the way that Jesus has loved us. And this new love affects us when we go into the world and we meet other people. When we're checking out at the grocery store, when we're at the cafeteria line, we actually look at people differently because we see them as people that Jesus deeply loves. And that Jesus has sent us to love on his behalf. This new love changes everything. So John writes about it. John, the Apostle John is called the Apostle of Love. And he says in 1 John 2, 7 and 8, dear friends, I'm not writing a new commandment for you because by the time I got to John, it wasn't new because Jesus had already said it. Rather, it is an old one that you have had from the beginning. This old commandment to love one another is the same message you heard before, yet it's also new. And I love this phrase. Jesus lived in the truth of this commandment, and you too are to live in it. So it's also the Apostle John who gave us 1 John 4, 7, and 8. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who doesn't love does not know God. We have a new love because of Jesus, and that changes everything. 2 Corinthians 5, 17. Here we go. Go. 2 Corinthians. Behold. Thank you. Behold, the new has come. You have a new love. Number six, two more. Because of Jesus, we have a new community. We know this, but I want you to think about it. On the day of Pentecost, Jesus, after he gave the Great Commission, he said to the disciples, stay in Jerusalem together until I send my Spirit, and when my Spirit comes upon you, you'll have power to be my witnesses throughout the entire earth. And then Jesus ascended to heaven, and Acts chapter 1, you get the sense of his people just gathered there, just trying to wait. And then in Acts chapter 2, the Holy Spirit shows up. It causes such a commotion in Jerusalem that a huge crowd shows up. Peter gets up and preaches. And at the end of his sermon, nearly 3,000 people put their trust in Jesus. And we're told that in Acts 2:41. And then in Acts 2:42, we read about this group that we realize a new community, the church, has gathered. And here's what we read about this community. Acts 2:42, the new community devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. And we realize not till later that a new, almost, Paul says in Ephesians, a new race of man has been gathered into a new community. And the four commitments of that new community, pay attention to the teaching of truth. Pay attention to the fellowship, the koinonia, the relationship that we have. Pay attention to the breaking of bread, which we're pretty sure means communion. Some people says it means breaking of bread in each other's homes, having fellowship meals together, but that's mentioned later, so we're pretty sure it's community. So pay attention to the apostles' teaching, pay attention to the fellowship, pay attention to communion, and pay attention to prayer. And there is a new community of people who do this and have been doing it across cultures and across the ages. Bonhoeffer makes the comment at one point, he says, there's nothing quite so unchristian as a solitary Christian. You realize that because of Jesus, you can be dropped anywhere in the world, and if there are Christ followers there, you have family. You're never alone. You're never in isolation. You can find Christ followers who are brothers and sisters in Christ because you share all of the new things in Christ. And you belong to one another, and the fellowship belongs to you. In this new community, we all have something to offer, and we all have something to receive. And for the rest of our lives, after we meet Jesus, we are committed to this new community, to show up to receive and to offer what we have to give. Because of Jesus, we get to belong to this new community. Guys, the churches can be messed up. We know that. The church can be broken too. It's still God's hand-picked tool to reach the world. You get to be part of God's mission to reach the world because you're part of this new community. So because of Jesus, we get to belong to this community. 2 Corinthians 5:17, pull it up. I like the way you work. All right, together, 2 Corinthians. Why did it take this side like twice as long to say it as this side? Let's try to do it together. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, anyone? All right, one more point. Because of Jesus, we have a new mission. We look at the world differently than we ever did before Jesus. Before Jesus, we didn't really care what was going on in the world if it didn't affect us. Before Jesus, if the world was going to hell in a handbasket, that's fine. Before Jesus, the world is just a backdrop to the drama of our lives. But after Jesus, we can't help but see the world in a whole new light. We can't help but see the world through the eyes of a God who loves it and wants to redeem it. And because of Jesus, then, we have a new mission. Now we have this undying commitment to make the world a better place in Jesus' name. We can't just live our little tiny lives and accomplish our tiny goals and be satisfied after we've met Christ. We now have a vision of the world and of life that is far, far greater. So the scriptures that I chose for this one, 2 Corinthians 3:6, God has enabled us to be ministers of his new covenant. You're a minister of the new covenant. This is a covenant not of written laws, but of the Spirit. Under the new covenant, the Spirit gives life. And then the other scripture is right after is 2 Corinthians 5:17. 2 Corinthians 5:18 to 20 says this: all this is from God, this new creation stuff. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. God has given a new mission, a ministry of reconciliation. And Paul goes on and says, he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore God's ambassadors, as if God is making his appeal to the world through us. This Thanksgiving, God is making an appeal to the world through you as a new creation of Jesus. The old has gone. Behold, the new has come. So let's do the verse one more time. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, the old has gone away. Behold, the new has come. 2 Corinthians 5:17. What difference does the Jesus story make in our lives? Changes everything. Once we come to Christ, we are an entirely new creation. He makes all things new. We have a new birth. We have a new friendship with God. We have a new indwelling Holy Spirit. We have a new nature. We have a new love. We have a new community. And we have a new mission. So at Thanksgiving, the world's going to say thank you for football. Some of it. World's going to say thank you for turkey. World's going to say thank you for letting me have a day off. You get to say thank you for being a new creation. I don't know what you're doing for your Thanksgiving meal, but let me encourage you, if you have any possibility of being a catalyst for this, before you eat your meal, if you can maybe speak up and say, hey, can we each go around the table and say things for which we are thankful to God for? That may be a stretch for some of you. If you can't initiate that at your Thanksgiving meal, then sometime on Thanksgiving, would you just stop and thank Jesus for all of the new things that you have because of him? And would you try this week somewhere, just try to do one thing to lean into what it means for you to be an entirely new creation. Maybe it's stretch out and love a person that's been unlovable to you. Maybe it's forgive a person who has wounded you. Maybe it's just simply to greet someone with a gracious smile. Maybe it's to talk to somebody about you being a new creation in Jesus' name. Because when you realize how glorious it is to be new creations, doesn't it make you ache for those who are still far from Jesus? And maybe the thing that you can do is introduce someone else to that love. Would you pray with me? Father, we are so incredibly blessed that we can hardly even grasp it. You encourage us to count our blessings so that we remember. Help us to remember that all things are new. When we're tempted to walk in the old nature, when we're tempted to have hard hearts, when we're tempted to abandon the community, would you prompt us to be who you created us to be in Jesus? And as a congregation, I'm pretty sure that being completely new creations means that we have to find some new wineskins, because old wineskins don't hold new wine. They burst. And I'm convinced there's something that you're birthing within each of us here and within us together at Cornerstone that is going to be a glorious expression of the fact that we are entirely new because of Jesus. Would you help us find our voice in the city of Boston, in our schools and in our workplaces and our neighborhoods? Would you help us, would you enable us to find our voice to be your ambassadors, knowing that you are making your appeal to the world through us. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.